Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. We're using Acts 2, 42 through 47 as our text this morning. It's a launching off point for us. The church in Acts was a church that was devoted to a handful of things, including the apostles' teaching. When the book of Acts says the apostles' teaching, it's talking about the body of doctrine that comes to us through Scripture. The things that the apostles taught, which were based on the things Jesus said and did, and the rest of Scripture. The church in Acts chapter 2 was a church devoted to the Word of God, to the Bible and its teachings. Now, I'll be leaving soon, as most of you already know, and my final Sunday is going to be April 24th. That's the plan right now. And I want, between now and then, to prepare you guys as much as I can for the challenges that will come with being without a pastor for a while. And the challenges that will come with looking for a pastor and then having a new pastor. I want to serve you guys, and I want to make sure that you're as prepared as you can be, because I want you guys to flourish. So this week, we're returning to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and we're going to read a description of what a healthy church community is as it's experiencing the grace of God. So Acts 2, starting in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. God, as we return to Scripture once again this week, God, we need you to be at work in us. We need you to open our eyes to see good things in your word. We need you to open our hearts that we might be receptive to what you say, that we might embrace your word. Father, we pray this morning that you would comfort us with reminders of your grace, but Father, also that you would challenge us that we might pursue you more faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Many of you know that my son Sam has an autoimmune disorder, and so since he was 4 years old, we've been taking him to the hospital regularly for infusions. At infusions, they put him in a chair, and they hook him up to an IV, and they slowly drip medication into his bloodstream. Over time, the patient gets to know the nurses at the infusion clinic, and over time, the nurses get to know the patient as well. And any of you who have spent much time getting medical treatments, or especially being hooked up to IVs by nurses, you know some nurses, like even if they're all competent, some of them just have the touch. You know what I mean? They're just able to do it well. And so, of course, we have our favorite nurses who are especially skilled or who know Sam especially well, and it always feels a little bit sketchy when you're in the infusion clinic and a new nurse walks in. We don't want a new nurse. We want the old nurse. The old nurse knows where the good veins are. The old nurse knows where the scar tissue is. The old nurse knows just how to deliver the medicine, just where to put the needle so everything goes smoothly. The new nurse doesn't know any of those things yet. The preaching of the Word of God is important to Grace Central Presbyterian Church, and I admire that about you guys deeply. That's a good thing. That's healthy. And you know that eventually God will bring along a new guy. He'll be the right guy, the guy that God has chosen. And in the meantime, people will, for some number of weeks or months, fill in on Sunday. You'll have men preaching the gospel to you, some of whom will be strangers to you, some of whom you know, but are relatively inexperienced in preaching, Some of you will be refreshed to hear new voices preaching the same gospel to you, and it will be a wonderful experience, and you guys are going to be fine. But some of you will say, we don't want a new guy, we want the old guy. The challenge is, we don't like different things, and in the coming weeks and months, the men who preach to you will be different. As a church that's devoted to the Word of God, to the apostles' teaching, as Acts chapter 2 puts it, as a church that's devoted to hearing and reading, and especially hearing the Word preached, is there anything that you guys can do, Grace Central, in those weeks and months when the preaching feels different? Yes, there is. Look, God uses teachers and preachers to deliver His word to the church. And so He gives some people the gift of teaching and preaching. He gives everybody a different spiritual gift. But he gives teachers and preachers to His church to build them up, to strengthen them, to comfort them through the gospel. So preachers and teachers have an obligation to undertake the task of preaching and teaching faithfully. But did you know that those who listen to the preaching of the word also have an obligation to do so faithfully? Did you know listening to the word preached is a skill that can be developed? And you can get better at it. And you can be more faithful in it. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus is talking. Listen to what Jesus says. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, be careful how you hear. Not just what you hear, not just who you hear, but he says be careful how you hear. Grace Central, as you wait to undertake the process of seeking a new pastor, and in the coming months as guest preachers fill in on Sunday morning, you can exercise skill in listening. How is it that as Christians we should listen to the word when the word of God is preached to us? We look through scripture, we see that it gives us guidelines and help in this, right? First, Christians are to listen diligently when the word is preached, consistently. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, day by day attending the temple together. The temple is where the word of God was preached and where it was taught. And the Christians in Acts chapter 2, who were experiencing so vibrantly the work of God's grace in their lives, were experiencing it in part because they were diligent in hearing the word preached. They were going regularly and consistently to hear the word. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 33 and 34, it says this, hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. A direct command from the book of Proverbs, do not neglect hearing instruction. And in verse 34, it says, blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Proverbs 8 says, wisdom and learning and knowledge and instruction will come to you as you devote yourself diligently to hearing God's word. Watching daily at my gates. How should you listen to the word preached? Diligently, consistently, regularly, without neglecting it, making it a priority in your schedule. Listen, here's what I've experienced, and I know some of you have as well. The more sugar and carbohydrates I eat, the more sugar and carbohydrates I want to eat. Have you experienced that? Right? But what happens when, you know, like on January 1st, when you really decide to get your act together and like, no more sugar, no more carbs, and you cut it all out for like, you're good for like 6 weeks maybe, right? What do you find as you've been eating whole foods and vegetables and fruits? And you start to crave whole foods and vegetables and fruits. And you take a sip of soda one day and you say, I can't believe I ever even liked that stuff. It's so sweet, right? The more you eat healthy foods, the more your, and I'm sure some of you can explain it who are doctors or whatever, right? But the more you eat healthy foods, the more your body wants healthy foods. Did you know the same thing is true regarding our consumption of the Word of God? Some of you know this as well. The more you give yourself to the study of God's Word, to reading it, but also hearing it proclaimed, the more God develops in you an appetite and a craving for more of His word. Luke Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus said, "Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." When we listen to God's word diligently, consistently, as a priority in our schedule, in our lives, God will give us more of that good thing that we are pursuing, the truth, the grace of his word. We listen diligently. We're also called to listen prayerfully. Acts chapter 2, we're told the people devoted themselves to the word of God. That is the apostles' teaching. They were also people who devoted themselves to prayer. In Scripture, this is one of the wonderful things about prayer. Even when we don't know what to pray or how to pray, right? The verse that comes to mind for us who know Scripture is that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. But even as the Holy Spirit's interceding for us, did you know in God's word there are prayers written? Do you know the book of Psalms is filled with prayers? Things that God, by his Holy Spirit, authored for his people that they might have the words to speak to him when they don't have the words to speak to him, right? Listen, Psalm 119, verse 18, the psalmist writes this, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." The psalmist knows that God himself works to assist him in his understanding of the Word of God as it's read and as it's preached. "Open my eyes," he's praying, "God, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." He's asking not just that his mind's understanding of it would be increased, but that his heart's embrace of it would be increased also, that he might behold it and also consider it wonderful. And so he prays that God would grant him this grace, that he would give him the eyes to see. Grace Central, here's what I want you to... I know a lot of pastors. Pastors know pastors. I know a lot of pastors. Listen, what you should know, faithful pastors who preach the word pray all week long that God would help them with the preparation of the message, that God would help them understand what it is that God's word is saying, that it would help them understand what aspect of what is being said in that text is most needed by the congregation, that in the formation of the word, they pray that God would help them to construct a message that's faithful to the text and helpful to the people, that they might be able to apply it compassionately and teach it effectively so that the church under their care can be strengthened and comforted by the gospel. If you ever find yourself under the ministry of a faithful preacher whose sermons just aren't connecting with you, one thing you can do is pray more. And I promise his sermons will get way better. Right? They will. His sermons will get way better. As you come prepared, your heart prepared in prayer, as you're coming consistently, making it a priority to hear the word proclaimed, God will use that sermon to minister to you in increasing measure. And the secret is, the guy's probably not getting better at preaching. You're getting better at listening. And so you're benefiting even more. You're called to listen diligently, listen prayerfully, preparing your heart ahead of time in prayer, asking God to minister to you through his word. Third, you're to listen discerningly. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul is traveling around, preaching the gospel, planting churches. He goes to a place called Berea. It says, "The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." So, the believers in Berea were called more noble than those in Thessalonica. And there are two things that are identified. One is they received the word with all eagerness. They were eager to hear the word taught and preached. They anticipated it. They were excited about it. They were prepared for it. They expected God to do something good for them and in them and through them by the preaching of his word. They were eager. But in addition to their eagerness, they were discerning. They examined what they heard according to Scripture to make sure that the things they were being taught, the things that were being preached to them, were in fact consistent with God's Word. Christians have to listen to the preached word discerningly. There's skill involved. It means knowing the Scriptures. It means as a Christian, you've got to give yourself to a lifetime of reading and studying the Word so that you know faithful preaching when you hear it. And so that you can tell the difference between preaching that is faithful to God's Word and preaching that is merely targeted towards your entertainment, because they're not the same. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul's writing to his young protege, Timothy, and he says to Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "I charge you, Timothy, preach the word, because the time is coming when people will surround themselves with teachers and preachers who will just tell them whatever it is they want to hear. And having heard what they want to hear, they will feel good and go away and think something good happened when nothing good happened at all. They will wander off into myths." So that means, Grace Central, that you have an obligation as listeners to the Word to know the Word of God well enough and always growing in your knowledge of it so that you can be discerning and know when you're hearing the faithful proclamation of something God has said in the Bible and when you're hearing something that just sounds good because it's consistent with what it is you already want, right? You listen diligently, you listen prayerfully, you listen discerningly, asking, is this in fact what the Bible teaches? Or are we just hearing something that suits our own passions, as 2 Timothy 4 puts it? Fourth, we listen with faith. This might seem so obvious it's hardly worth saying, but we should say it: when you listen to the word preached, if it's faithful to Scripture, then the listeners are under the obligation to believe what it is they hear, to receive the message in faith, to allow the truth to do its work in us. The author of the book of Hebrews is talking about two different populations that responded differently to the good news when it came to them. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." Or another reading of it is, "because it did not meet with faith in the hearers." Same gospel, one population it benefits them, the other population it does not benefit them. What is the difference? The author of Hebrews says, they believed it, they didn't believe it. The good news wasn't a benefit to them because they didn't receive it with faith. Look, the Bereans weren't gullible. They weren't naive, they weren't foolish. They were eager to hear the word of God. But when it was preached to them, they said, "Okay. Let me see if that's what it really says." Right? They were discerning. They put it to the test. And when they saw that it was biblical, they believed it. They responded with belief. This is how it is that we're to listen to the word preached. We're to be diligent and consistent, prioritize it in our lives. We're to prayerfully prepare ourselves to hear it. We're to listen discerningly to make sure what we're hearing is the truth of God's word and not something else. And then having seen that it is consistent with God's word, we're to accept it, to receive it with faith, to allow it to do its work in us. How about Monday through Saturday? Your job as a listener doesn't end when the sermon ends. In some ways, your job at that point just begins, right? Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. The obligation is to think about what we've heard, to meditate on it, to consider it, to allow the truth of God's word to continually come back to our minds, to set aside time, if we need to, during the week, to revisit those verses in Scripture, to think about what we've heard, to allow it to seep down into our hearts, to allow God's word to do its work in us. And we're to put it to work. God's expectation is that we would hear his word in order that it might change us, in order that we might become more obedient to him. James chapter 1, verse 22 and following says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of a word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. One of the questions you can ask yourself, if you find yourself under the ministry of some preacher, and you say, his preaching just doesn't, I just don't feel like it's benefiting me. It's just not a blessing to me, right? Okay. Are you doing what the word says? Are you living like it makes a difference Monday through Saturday? Are you attempting not only to think about it, to consider it, but to make necessary changes in your life that are related to the thing that has been proclaimed to you from God's word? This is what faithful listening to the word proclaimed means. You think about it later, and you put it to work in your life. Jesus says, take care then how you hear. How are you hearing the word of God preached? How faithful is your listening? How diligent, how prayerful, how discerning, how eager, how trusting of God's word once you hear it? Do you think about it later? Do you recognize when God's word requires changes in your life, in your thinking, in your attitude, in your words? That's what faithful listening is. I want to give you two more things to think about. Two errors we might make, right? One temptation for us is going to be to have a consumer mindset as Christians when it comes to our relationship to preaching. A consumer mindset, right? When it comes to our role as a listener of God's word, we shouldn't approach it primarily as a consumer of religious goods and services. It's hard not to do because we are deeply discipled by our culture, right? There are all kinds of discipleship forces on us in the culture at all times. We're being shaped into certain kinds of people. And you guys know the world around us consistently wants to define us primarily as consumers. When we come to church and expect a good sermon or worshipful music, or when there's some spiritual feeling or religious experience that we expect to have, and if we don't have it, we're on to the next church to see if they have it for us, that could reveal that we're relating to the church of God and to the word of God, and in this case, we're talking about the preaching of his word, primarily as a consumer. Now look, nobody goes to church hoping to hear a bad sermon. Of course not. You don't go hoping to hear a bland sermon. Nobody goes to church and says, boy, I sure hope music is unmoving and subpar today. No, but of course not, right? But, listen, Christian, our first desire, in second place should be way off in the distance, but our first desire should be that the music, for instance, is faithful and pleasing to God because it's Him that we're singing to, right? Our first desire should be that the sermon is faithful to God's word. That should be our first desire, right? And second place should be way off in the distance. You're not even sure what your second criteria would be. It was faithful to God's word. Praise God, right? That's what you're hoping for. When you leave church on a Sunday morning, maybe don't say, well, I didn't get anything out of that, right? Maybe say, I'm trusting God to do His work in me through the preaching of that faithful servant. See the difference? Well, I didn't get anything out of that, right? Instead, you could say, I'm going to trust God to bring to fruitfulness the word that was preached to me this morning. Now, also, I know you guys and how sarcastic you all are. Please don't take that sentence and make that a euphemism for I didn't get anything out of that on your way home from church every Sunday. I know you're going to get in the car and be like, well, I guess I'm just going to trust God to bring to fruitfulness. Faithfulness of His preached word, right? So examine your heart and say, am I relating to God's word as a consumer of goods and services? Or is my highest desire just that the word would be faithfully proclaimed? Right? The second temptation is that we would have a critic mindset. What I mean is, look, we're all, yes, be a critical thinker. That's what the Bereans were praised for, being critical thinkers. They were eager to hear the word preached. It was, and they said, that's great. Let us double check to make sure it's biblical, right? Have a critical thinking about you, but not a critic mindset. What I mean is, don't approach your role as a listener to the preached word the way a critic approaches the release of a new film, for instance. Well, here's what was pretty good about it, but here's where I felt like it was a little bit lacking. And you know, that other guy, Tarantino, has addressed similar themes more effectively in his films, and the whole thing seemed a little bit derivative of Spielberg. But overall, I guess it was okay, right? You're coming in as if your role in relationship to the word that was preached to you is to analyze it for what you found pleasing and what you found displeasing. And if you have any kind of seminary training at all, and you know this is true, it's hard for you to listen to a sermon without thinking primarily what you would have said differently, right? Be a critical thinker, but don't have a critic mindset. Don't come to church on a Sunday when there's some new guy up here you don't know, right? And saying, don't come in and say, well, let's see how good this guy is, right? Come saying, well, let's see how God's going to bless me through His preached word today. Okay? As an aside, did you know the Apostle Paul was a lousy preacher? Did you know that? Did you know that? The Apostle Paul, not a good speaker. And everybody knew it and talked about it. Did you know that? And that he admitted it himself. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, he said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom. He says, I'm not eloquent in my preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech. He's saying, when I am there preaching, it's not lofty. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, for they say, his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech of no account. That was the critique of the Apostle Paul. That's how the critic listeners weighed in. His letters are good, but have you seen him in person? Not very impressive. His sermons are nothing to write home about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Right. Apostle Paul's defending himself a little bit. Yeah, not a good preacher, but I know what I'm talking about. Why? Because he's faithful to the word of God. Can there be any doubt that the Apostle Paul was faithful in his task as a teacher and a preacher of God's word? Can there be any doubt that those who listened faithfully were greatly benefited by the Apostle Paul's instruction and teaching and preaching? Which of us wouldn't want to go back in time and sit under Paul's teaching, even just for one day? And how eager would you be to experience that? And how much would you anticipate that God would bless you through it? Look, nobody likes getting a new nurse. We like the old nurse. But the old nurse was a new nurse once, too, remember? And it just took time for the nurse to learn where the best veins were and where the scar tissue was and how to work around it and where to put the needle and how best to deliver the medicine so that it could do its work of healing. So Grace Central, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, in this next year, as things get weird and uncomfortable and different, and just give it time. Give it time and use those days to refine your skill as listeners to the Word of God preached. That's what you have to do. Use that time to work on your skill and your faithfulness in listening. And then trust God and watch Him work in this church through His Word preached faithfully by whoever preaches it to you with faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for preserving it for us. Thank you for speaking it to us. Father, I pray for this church, for Grace Central. I thank you for the way that they value the truth of your word. That this is a congregation that is uncompromising in its conviction that your word is truth. Father, I pray that you would reward their desire for faithful preaching for many, many years to come. God, I pray for your blessing upon all the men who will fill this pulpit in the coming days, temporarily, for maybe just one Sunday or for week after week, whoever it may be, Father. Bless their study and their ministry and their proclamation of your word. And then, God, I ask that you would take this time to grow Grace Central in her skill in listening, in order that you might be glorified in them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.